and welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ for ZOS Debugging Add-ins for Beginners. Today's presenters are Rick Armstrong, Doug Bender, Lance Ishida, and Greg Woods. Rick is an advisory software engineer with WebSphere MQ support in IBM Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Rick has worked with IBM customer support for many years. He has worked in ZOS communication server support and is currently on the WebSphere MQ ZOS support team. Doug Bender is a staff software engineer with WebSphere MQ support at IBM Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Doug started with IBM in Kingston, New York in 1981 in the hardware area, and then in 1984 moved to the software area. In software, Doug became a level 2 rep for Graphic Data Display Manager and still supports the product. In 1994, Doug began supporting Kix as a level 2 representative. After 10 years of Kix support, he moved to the WebSphere MQ on ZOS support team. Currently, he supports WebSphere MQ for ZOS, GDDM, and SIB on ZOS. Blanche is an advisory software engineer with WebSphere MQ support at IBM Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Blanche has worked with IBM customer support and services for the majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the ZOS WebSphere MQ support team. Greg Woods is a staff software engineer with WebSphere MQ support at IBM Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Greg joined the WMQ for ZOS team in 2005. Greg has assisted customers with various WMQ problems, ranging from WMQ API problems to queue sharing group problems. The majority of Greg's career has been on ZOS products such as ISPF, Book Manager, Read MVS, Information Management, and now WebSphere MQ. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Blanche. You may begin.
Okay. Let's go to slide 2, David. Thank you for that introduction. And thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us today. And I'll just go over slide 2, which is the basic outline for the agenda. We're going to talk about specifically about WebSphere MQ ZOS add-ins and the two add-in codes, 5Charlie6 and 6Charlie6. We'll review some information from job logs, syslogs, and logrec, and also do an overview of the dump titles and the IPCS, the commands to for your dump formatting. And we'll also go over the MQ ZOS must gather for add-ins, and then we'll do a summary and follow up with a reference. Slide 3, please. Okay. Introduction to WebSphere MQ ZOS add-ins. The purpose of this presentation is basically, this is for beginners. It's a very high-level presentation to give you an overview of what the MQ add-ins are, and also, you know, we'll see what do they mean, and when you do have an add-in, when your MQ system experiences an add-in, what do you do, and what information can you review, and what information, if you open a service request to the support center, on the information that we would need. Let's go to slide 4, please. So what are the two ZOS add-ins for MQ series? The two we have are a 5Charlie6 and a 6Charlie6, and basically, as you can read on this slide, the 5Charlie6 detected an internal error and has terminated an internal task, like a TCB or a user-connected task. And it might be preceded by other system add-in codes or internal errors. Go to slide 5. The other MQ ZOS add-in is a 6Charlie6. And a 6Charlie6 is detected a more severe error and has terminated the queue manager. As a 5Charlie6 was at the task level, now it's 6Charlie6 is more at the queue manager level. So it's basically when you see a 6 Charlie 6, you know the MQ is determined that continued operation could result in the loss of data integrity. And you might see, again, preceded by the 6 Charlie 6, some additional system ABINs or 5 Charlie 6 errors as well. And also the error message CSQV086EZ. The last bullet, the WebSphere MQ for ZOS ABINs, is actually a hot link. It's a hyperlink that takes you into the WebSphere MQ Information Center. And there's a nice chart, and it tells you the differences between a 5 Charlie 6 and a 6 Charlie 6 and what information is given to you, like a dump or log rec, or, you know, where that information is written. So just have that there. And Greg Woods will discuss some of the reason codes that WebSphere MQ has further on in the presentation. Let's go to slide 6, please. Okay, this common ABIN 5 Charlie 6 with the 00EZ7014FOX. We see this quite often, and basically. What it says in the explanation there is an internal error has occurred, and this is normally as a result of some previous error. And so what happens is people will send in the 00EZ7014FOX dump, but we also need the preceding dump information and to determine what the error is. So what you could do to see what the initial errors are. You could review the WebSphere MQ job log or the console log, the syslog, or look in log rec for software records for any previous ABINs and errors, and we'll go over some of that. And then, again, there's a sample dump title of what it looks like for when you have this 5 Charlie 6 00EZ7014FOX. And this reason code is somewhat similar to a 2195, like an MQRC unexpected error where, you know, something else has happened possibly, and, you know, this is not the initial error. Okay, let's go to slide 7, please. And I'm going to walk through an ABIN example using just job log, syslog, and log rec. There are times when, you know, an ABIN's occurred, but no dump is available. But by using the job log, syslog, and log rec, we were able to determine the problem. So first of all, the ABIN information from the CSQ1 MSTR, the master job log, you'll see that message CSQV086EZ saying queue manager abnormal termination, reason equals, and there's various reasons. I just left it as dot, 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 and so that would be a more generic. And then you'll see the ZOS message IEF450I CSQ1 master had an ABIN system 0 Charlie 4 with a reason code of 00000011. Let's go to slide 8, please. Okay, so that first information was from the CSQ1 master job log, and the same information in this case was also logged in syslog, the CSQV086EZ, and again, queue manager abnormal termination reason equals. The other thing you can check for in the syslog is the ZOS message IEA611I, and it will tell you if you have you know, a partial dump or a full dump. Because if we just have a partial dump, we may not have all the storage areas that we need to determine a root cause. So the full dump is what we generally would need. And you can link to the IA611I. You can go to the ZOS Information Center to get, you know, they'll give you the different reasons on what happened, on why you might have just a partial dump. Slide 9, please. Okay. Again, so no dump was available. We looked at the CSQ1 master job log, because that's the one that the masters who took the ab end, and then we looked at the sys log, and now we looked at log rec. We went ahead and requested the software records for log rec, and you can see here that the type is underlined software record, and there's a error date, which is the Julian date, and then the time, so which should all match up with what you're looking for in the job log or sys log. And you can see the job name is CSQ1 master in green there. So we know, okay, this is the right one that we need to look at. This is the right log rec entry. And you'll have things like the module name, the load module name, CSQRGLM1, and also the CSEC name, CSQRUB01, and the system ABIN code of the 0Charlie4, and the ABIN reason code of 11. Okay, let's go to slide 10, please. And again, this was just slide 10 here. It's just following up on what the log rec entry looks like. And you'll see again here, it gives you the sub-function, and you'll see the module name again, CSQRU0B, RUB01, and the PSW and the registers here. And Rick will talk a little bit more about the log data when he discusses the MQ dumps. Go to slide 11, please. Okay. So on slide 11, what we have again is the rest of the log rec entry, and you'll see highlighted in red that the requested SVC dump was not taken. The dump was suppressed by DAE. In the last bullet in blue there, determining why a dump was suppressed, that's a hyperlink to the ZOS Information Center for the MVS Diagnosis Tools and Service Aids, and that'll give you reasons on why DAE might suppress the dump. And so you can look at that hyperlink to determine the reason why. And again, Rick will talk a little more about that when he gets into the actual dumps. So if we go to slide 12. Okay. So now we have some information. We know what module ab-ended, and we know what the ab-end code is, and we know what the CSEC is. So just with that information, if you go to the first, the WebSphere MQ support page, again, is a hyperlink there. And if you go to the support site, and I have a snapshot there of what it looks like, just a portion of it, and the area that's the search support and downloads over on the bottom right there that's circled in red, I put in that search argument, 0Charlie4, and put in the module name and CSEC name, CSQRGLM1 and CSQRUB01. And if we go to slide 13, please. And on slide 13, you'll see that actually from searching there, one of the first hits that came up was actually an APAR, PM59441. And we didn't have a dump, so we weren't, you know, absolutely sure that this was the error, but we were fairly sure that it was. And so, but there was a local fix in this particular APAR, and was just basically you can define a system queue, and once the user defined the system queue and brought MQ back up, the master back up, they no longer saw the 0Charlie4. So they had a choice of either doing the circumvention in the local fix or applying the fix. But for expediency, it was easier to just do the local fix. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Doug to discuss dump titles.
Thank you, Blanche. Slide 14, please. There's two ways to find out what's a dump taken for. Let's say you have a dump data set and you go, okay, what's it for? One way, the simple way, is you can use ISPF browse of the dump data set and look at the first line and then move right 80 characters, and it will show you, it starts with the name of the subsystem that took the advent. I have color-coded the results of looking at the dump title in the dump data set, and on the next page I'll go through what each one of those means. The next way is to bring it into IPCS and go to panel 6 and do a ST, or you can just, once you bring it into option 0 and put the dump name in there, hit enter, you can just do an IP status or IP ST. Slide 15, please. Okay. I figured the easiest way is to color code everything. So I'll go through the dump title, which tells you a lot. It tells you the subsystem that issued the dump in green, the CHQ1. And in blue, the ABN is the completion code in ABN that was taken. In this case, it's a 5-Charlie-6 with a reason code of 00-DOG-4-00-DOG-ABLE. And Greg will have more to come on the breakdown of that reason code. Also, the U equals is the user ID identifier. And then C equals gives you the component that's failing. In this case, it's 566R3600. And it gives you the release and version modification level. This is our latest level of MQ710. And the DMC is data manager component. And the name of the function is CHQICRE2. And then M sometimes will appear and sometimes not, depending on where the advent occurred. In this case, it did appear, and it's the name of the current FRR or ESTAY recovery routine. And then LOC equals will give you the load module, the CSECT, and the offset into the CSECT. Most of the time when we write an APAR, we'll try to include this dump title in the APAR. So you can take, like in Blanche's example, the 5-Charlie-6, the reason code, and the CSECT, and do a search under that component and level, and probably find an APAR for it. In this case, there is one. It's a closed hyper APAR, M72079. It still has an open PTF for it. Okay, slide 16. Okay, in this slide, I'll go through a quick overview of setting up IPCS so you can format out the MQ dumps using IPCS. First thing you'd have to do is copy your data set, and your high-level qualifier is whatever your high-level qualifier is. On our system, it would be sys1 or Vicky, V-I-C-Y, dot V in the version, and then the name, SCSQ proc. And you copy that CSQ7 IPCS to the sys1.parm lib. Then you need to include library SCSQ PNLA to your ISP PLib concatenation. And then the last step is your TSO session or IPCS job must include the library CSQ auth in your step lib concatenation. Now, this is all documented in the Info Center under Task 21. And if you click on Task 21, include the WebShare MQ Dump Formatter member, that's a hyperlink. Okay, page 17, please. Okay, I'm going to give you an overview of the verbexes that are available for the master and chin. The a queue manager is made up of two address spaces, a master and a chin. The chin does most of the communications, and the master does most of the rest. Okay, you'll see on each one of these pages highlighted in red the letter W, because both verbexes are almost identical. The verbex for the master has a W in that space, and you'll see on further slides that W will be an X for the chin. Okay, the first verbex, and all the verbexes will be the same up to the comma for the master. And so it's verbex CSQW DPRD single quote subsystem. In this case, it's CSQ1. It would be whatever your subsystem is, and then TT. And when you get the output, this will show all the job names, such as it lists the master, it lists CSCS jobs, batch jobs, IMS. And underneath all those EBs, or execution blocks, will be the master trace if enabled. The next bullet shows the same thing up into the comma where BMC equals some number. It can be 1 to 4, and it will show information about buffer pools. One important point to point out here that we have seen several times is that asterisk problem, if you search for that, it usually means that you have a need for tuning of your buffer pools. It's usually because you're doing too many I/O reads instead of coming out of the buffer, sort of like the buffer's too small is one example. All right. Page 18, please. Okay, this is continuing on with the master verbexes. And again, everything's the same up to the comma. And then PTF equals Y will show you the PTF levels of all the master modules. If you wanted to know if you had a certain fix on for the master, you could use this verbex. The second one is CFS equals 1. That's to format out the coupling facility manager report. The third one, DB2 equals 1, is a DB2 manager report. And then the fourth one on this page is DMC equals 1, data manager data. Okay, slide 19. Continuing on with the master verbex. All the way up to the comma is the same. LMC equals 1 is log manager data. That will give you information about logging. The next bullet, MMC equals 1, is message manager data. It will show things like MAUT, which has authorization information. MQLO will show local queues, but not the shared queues, because the shared queues are MQSH. Next is MQRO for remote queues, MQAO for alias queues. Page 20, please. Okay, more things that this will show is MQMO for model queues, MCHL for channels, MNL for name list, MSTC for storage classes, and MPRC for processes for usually used for in triggering. The last bullet on this page is also a hyperlink into the book that will give you more information on the master tracing parameters that you can specify. There's other parameters that you can add on to this, and if we were to talk just about the master tracing, it would take several hours. Okay, on to page 21. Okay, this is now, we're talking about the chin vertex. And you'll notice in red now that W is now an X. Everything else is the same up until the comma. And CHST is channel history. And that X can be a 1 for all the channel information, or 2 just for a summary of all the channels. And 3 is what we use a lot, which is data provided by 2, which is a summary, and a program trace trace. Okay, page 22, please. Okay, continuing on with the chin vertex. Everything's the same up until the comma. CLS equals Y. Y can be either 1 or 2. And this will give you information about clustering. And you can display the clustering report, including the cluster repository, which we use a lot. And the next one, everything's the same up until the comma. And then CTrace equals F or S. And F is for a full channel trace. It's a chinet trace. And S is for short. You would use S for if you would like to see if there was a loop that was happening in the chinet. And PO is for more researching what happened if you had a channel advent. That last bullet on the page is also a hyperlink to the books that talk about these vertexes and other possible parameters that can be added to them. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Rick.
Hello, can you go to slide 23, please? All the things that Doug was just talking about is not for the faint of heart, using those commands for a dump in IPCS. I'm going to talk about some of those as well. If you, as you've already found out, with what Blanche was talking about and Doug was talking about, the dump titles, you can find a lot of useful information, and most of the information you find there are or can help you solve the problem that you're encountering. But if you want to go further and look at the actual dump, so we're actually going into a dump now and got the dump formatted in IPCS, and this command, IP status fail data, or IPST fail, will produce some information that looks that's going to look very familiar to what you've seen already. It's just taken from the dump snapshot or the snapshot of the dump when the dump was taken. So you'll see the search data, symptom strings, PSW registers. Also, you'll find primary, secondary, and home address space IDs. So let's go to slide 24, please. So again, Doug, we got this color-coded. So the search argument information, you can gather a lot of valuable information there to do searches against the support page to find information. So in this case, the PIDS or PIDS is the component ID for WebSphere MQ. The RIDS is the load module name, and then the one that's highlighted in red or pink here is a secondary RIDS, which is the actual CSECT where the admin is occurring. And then the admin code, which is a 0-5-Charlie-6, which is only MQ admin code. And then the PRCS code, which is the actual reason code for the admin 5-Charlie-6, in this case 00-DOG-4, 00-ABLE-DOG. And So that's some viable information from the search argument. And again, this comes from the IP status fail data command that you entered once having it done, formatted in IPCS. And then the symptom down below there, it spells all that out for you in the symptom and description. It kind of tells you what those are. It's just further definition of what is up in the search argument. So a lot of that information is repeated. Let's go to slide 25, please. And then below there, if you're looking at this data from the top down, below there is time of error information, which has the PSW and registers. And also it has general registers and my mind just went blank for what AR stands for, address registers. So, again, you can see in register 1 is the 5Charlie6 admin code, and in register 15, the general register 15, is the reason code for the admin. And then the PSW here, you notice in this case it's only two words. PSWs can also be four words, and the first word and the last and the last word will look just like this two word PSW here, but there'll be two additional words in between, which is for 64-bit addressing. But notice that this address, the second word, the Baker 49 EZ042 address. And let's go to this slide 26, please. If you want to find out what module abended with this within the dump, if you take that PSW address and you do a locate against that address, but you have to drop the 8-bit in the address portion, so that Baker becomes a 3. So it's 3 Baker 49 EZ042. When you do searches for the address of the module. And you'll do a search for that, and it'll take you to that address location within the. And if you page up or back from there, you'll go back until you see an iCatcher. If you look at the very bottom of this page, the slide here, you'll see some hexadecimal numbers. Then on the right-hand side, you'll see iCatcher information or information that's readable. Well, that information that's readable, that's what you would look for in a dump, and you can find, if you back up from where the PSW pointed, and your first one that you find that looks something similar to this will be a module name. And in this case, it also has a date and a PTF number. So the module name is CSQICRE2, and the data was compiled as 2012-03, March 22nd. And then the PTF is UK77255, and that's how you read that. Now, one thing you need to know about module names is that any module starting with CSQ is a WebSphere MQ module. If it starts with something else, it's not a WebSphere MQ module name, and therefore the problem may be caused by some other product. And then if you're looking at a module and it's CSQX is the beginning of the module, that is a CHIN module or CHINIT and a module name. So that problem happened within the CHINIT address space. So if it's CSQX is in the CHINIT address space, if it's CSQ anything else, it happens in the master address space. For, as Doug said, there's two address spaces for MQ on ZOS. One is the master and the other is the CHIN. So hopefully that dropping the 8-bit is not too confusing, and how to find the module name, we really don't have enough time to go through a lot of detail about IPCS and how to get around an IPCS. If you're not familiar with that, there's probably some Westies on IPCS navigation itself. Let's go to slide 27, please. Now, Blanche mentioned getting log rec data by running an EREP report, by running an EREP report. There's also log data information, buffer information within a dump, and you can look at a little bit of history within the dump because you know it can't contain a whole lot of data there, not for hours beforehand, but it may take may have seconds or minutes beforehand. And you can look at that data within within the dump. And the way you do that is you enter the command IP, which stands for IPCS, verbex, which stands for verb exit, and give it the log data parameter for verb exit. And you'll get information that looks a lot like what you saw earlier in Blanche's, what she was talking about for log data records. You get a software record, which is what we're looking for. Again, the report date on the right-hand side, the time, and then the search argument information below there as well. My battery is running out. Hold on one second, please. Sorry about that. Phone going dead. You'll see the search argument information, which is what we've already talked about several times. So there's several ways to get that same information when you're investigating a dump. Let's go to the slide 28, please. And then this is the software record continued, which looks exactly like what we saw a moment ago from the IP status fail data from the dump. And then one thing I want to bring to your attention here below that symptom string information is there's recovery action also listed in the log rec and log data information. And what's highlighted there in red is the requested SVC dump was successfully started. So that means the dump was being taken for this problem. And the one that Blanche reported said the dump was not taken because DAE suppressed it. So that's one of the things you'll look for to see if a dump was actually created for this problem. Slide 29, please. There's one more thing I want to bring out in the dump. You know, the system log information that for ZOS is printed to the consoles to the consoles. There's also a little bit of information that's kept, a buffer of information that's kept within the dump that's taken at the dump if you request the TRTS data information. It's and you get to it by IP, again for IPCS, verb exit, mTrace for master trace. And it contains some of the system information that was going on previous to the dump being taken. So it's interesting sometimes to look back. If you don't have the system, if you have a system log handy, you can go back in the dump and see a little bit of brief history of what was going on in the system before the dump was taken. Slide 30, please. Now, DAE, we've kind of talked a little bit about that. It stands for Dump Analysis and Elimination. Sometimes you can get yourself wrapped up. It's a useful tool because it helps manage the amount of dumps that ZOS takes for jobs that are running. So if you have a job that's ad-bending over and over and over again, instead of producing dumps for all those, you can suppress you can take one dump and then suppress dumps after that. It's a very useful tool, but at the same time, it sometimes trips us up with in level 2 and level 3 because dumps were suppressed when we really needed the dump to take a look at what was going on. And sometimes they get suppressed by accident or not by accident, but people are trying to fix one problem and they cause problems of somewhere else by suppressing them. So let's go to slide 31. So again, this is recovery action information from log rec or log data, and it said the dump was suppressed by DAE. And then that the determining why a dump was suppressed actually points to MVS diagnosis tools and service aids for determining why a dump was suppressed. So it's a hyperlink. If you click on that, it should take you to how to determine why the dump was suppressed. And I'm going to turn the rest of the time over to Mr. Woods. Greg, you take over, please.
Thank you, Rick. Slide 32. Inside the reason codes, Webster MQ identifies the component which issued the add-in. The component is usually a resource manager. WMQ is structured as a number of resource managers, and each resource manager owns a functional area. Say, for instance, message manager component manages messages and some of the objects that messages can be stored in. But the reason code will appear as a full word, and the indicator of which resource manager that issued the ABIN will appear in the second byte of the reason code. For example, the reason code we have here is 00DOG4000ABLEDOG. The 00DOG4 represents the message manager, more specifically the DOG4, that one byte indicator. Slide 33, please. Continuing with the reason code breakdown, there is listed here a table of all the different resource managers that can be identified in the reason code as having had issuing the ABIN. Say, for instance, for like batch adapter, you would see a reason code of 00Charlie2. For the security manager, you may see a reason code of 00Charlie8, and so on. The last bulleted item, Webster MQ component identifiers, is a hot link to all of the resource managers that can issue ABINs, and their indicators will appear in the reason code. So I would definitely take a look at that link. Slide 34, please. MQ ABIN and system trace table. To see the ABIN in the system trace table, issue the command IP systrace time open paren local close paren. This command formats trace entries for the current address space with local timestamps, and in this case, the current address space would be the master address space. To find the error in the system trace, you can use the ISPF find command to locate the trace entry RCVY, which is the indication of recovery termination manager, and you'll see some of the uniques in the system trace table indicating the ABIN and the reason code. For presentation purposes, we had to reduce the unique fields somewhat, but in a live system trace, those unique fields will be there, and specifically we're looking at register 15, which would be unique 1. It would contain the reason code, as you would see, the 00DOG4000ABLEDOG, and then unique 3, which would be register 1, would contain the actual ABIN. The last bulleted item for more details on system trace entries is a hot link to the topic reading system trace output in the ZOS Information Center. I will look at those to become more familiar with some of the trace entries and the recovery termination trace entry that would show reason codes and ABIN. So I'd like to transition back to Blanche.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Let's go to slide 35, please. Okay, so we're going to wrap things up here. We went over some examples of how to get through the dump and some of the job logs and syslogs. And on slide 35, we have a must gather for WebSphere MQ ZOS ABINs. And it's basically to collect troubleshooting data for an ABIN problem in WebSphere MQ for ZOS. And that tech note number 1293442, again, that's a hyperlink, so it'll take you to the actual tech note. I just went ahead and pulled some of the information. There's much more information in the actual tech note when you look at it. But some of the required data that we would like to see is if you look at the doc yourself and you're unable to determine what the problem is, or you can't find an APAR that matches the description of what you found when you've looked at the documentation at the job logs and dumps and log rec, then you can go ahead open up a service request to the support center. And the information that we would need is a detailed description of the circumstances leading up to the ABIN, you know, is this a new application, or did you apply new PTFs, or are you doing disaster recovery? So any information that you can provide to help us to identify root cause. Again, there's the job logs, and we do have the two address spaces, as was mentioned before. And so what you'll have there is the XXXX master and the chin, where the XXXX is the WebSphere MQ subsystem identifier. Throughout the presentation, we've been using CSQ1. And again, the syslog, that helps if there's information that we need, if the another component or another product is involved, or, you know, just gives us that syslog from an hour prior to the admin, that's helpful to get history of what was happening in the system. And then any dumps that were generated at the point of failure. If we go to slide 36, please. Now, this is optional data, but it's highly recommended. And this was the log rec. The example that I used at the beginning, running the ARIP report for the software records, and there's actual JCL out there. There's a tech note linked off of the ABN tech note, but there is a separate tech note, 1291812, and again, that's a hyperlink, and that basically will give you the directions to get the software log rec entries. And this is the actual, like, Rick covered the log data information by what's available in a dump, but this would actually just be the system log rec information. Go to slide 37, please. Okay, so again, this was a high-level overview of WebSphere MQ ZOS ABINs, and so we covered, you know, what are the WebSphere MQ ZOS ABINs, 5 Charlie 6 and 6 Charlie 6. Those are our ABIN codes, but as you saw underneath that, there were like system ABINs, like a 0 Charlie 4 and that type of thing. So that although those are the MQ ABINs, it might be that there is another previous ABIN. And again, you know, tried to show the importance of why we request the job log and the syslog and log rec. And again, with that information, sometimes either if the dump was suppressed or information, you know, the dump was lost, it just wasn't available, you know, that first example that we used, just with the job log, syslog, and log rec, you might possibly be able to determine the error. And the dump titles, and again, the information that's just included in the dump titles before you even start formatting the dump and digging into the dump. Then the MQ, the Interactive Problem Control System, the IPCS, there's information on the setup and the WebSphere MQ ZOS verb X's. And then the ZOS must gather for ABINs. Let's go to slide 38, please. This is some reference information. The first one, and we went ahead and put the actual URLs, and they are hyperlinks as well. But the first one is for our WebSphere MQ support homepage, and that's for all the different releases and all the different platforms. So it's just for WebSphere MQ. And the second one is the tech note for the collecting troubleshooting data for an ABIN. And you'll want to look at that because that even gives you information. Again, there's additional information on job logs, syslogs, and how to even send the documentation to us if you open up a service request. And there's a couple previous webcasts that were done. There's a WebSphere MQ for ZOS dump analysis. That was a more in-depth dump analysis. And then there was a webcast, Great Expectations, and working with the WebSphere MQ ZOS Level 2 support team. And that was a high-level, again, presentation for the different types of errors that you might encounter in WebSphere MQ. And we went over several different must-gathers and the data that's required to pursue those types of problems. And the last item is the WebSphere MQ Information Center. And again, that takes you to the information centers for all the different platforms, not just ZOS and the different releases. And one of the things that we'd also like to, if, you know, there is an interest in digging deeper and doing more dump analysis, that, you know, that you would let us know, and because we would like to do some further debugging types of actually getting deeper into the dumps. But if you would let us know that that's something that you're interested in, or an area that you're interested in, it would help us to focus on, you know, what future presentations that we might do. Okay, so let's go to slide 39, please. Okay, these are just some additional WebSphere product resources. There's information about the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast, and I think if you've done these in the past before, you've seen this slide and the different links that are available and the different resources that are available. The second to the last one is talking about, you know, how to open a service request or how to using that tool. And again, just want to thank everyone for taking the time and out of your busy schedule to participate in this presentation. And you know, we'll get back with you. I guess if we have any questions until now, I'm just going to hand it back to David.
Okay, thank you, Rick, Doug, Blanche, and Greg for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. Moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to remind you that for those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. At this time, Dory, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. You will be prompted to record your first and last name. And to withdraw your request, press star two. Once again, to ask a question, press star then one now. Our first question comes from Lee Willett. Your line is open. Lee, you may need to check your mute button. We're not able to hear you.
Okay, thank you. I had hoped to see something on TCP reason codes. If you could include that in a future slide or some way, get that back to me, because we do have to deal with that quite a bit. The one in particular is a return code of 480 with a reason code 1132 with four zeros. I'm a transfer, a convert, if you will, from the DB2 mainframe world. So I saw something where you do touch on components, where in the DB2 world I would have looked in my SDSN SAMP library for something called DSN WMODs. I'm wondering if there's anything similar to that in the MQ world. And lastly, and I will let you go, your Verbex, you gave examples of subsets, CSQ 1, comma. In some cases you had a space, in other cases you did not have a space. I wonder if those were crucial. And I'll go back on mute. Thank you.
This is Rick. To clarify, I think I've got confused about you're talking about TCP/IP reason codes or MQ reason codes. You want it specifically?
Yeah, they were. My question was on TCP reason codes.
Okay. Would you send me an email to the email on my, on the title page, and I'll answer that via email?
I will certainly do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question.
The question about the verbex, right? There's no space. It's just a comma and
thank you.
FTT or comma BMC or DMC.
Great. And is it sufficient in the last question, the components? Is it sufficient just to go to that link that was in the presentation, or do you actually have one listed within the libraries that you ship?
That we'll have
to check. Yeah, we'll have to check that. There probably is, but I'm not absolutely sure.
Awesome. Thank you, and I am done.
Our next question comes from Simcha Fleischer. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. I got in a couple minutes late. I had problems getting in. So I probably missed some stuff on LogRec. Can you give an overview on LogRec? Is that something that runs with a running MQ address space, or is it? I noticed that you said something about running some JCL for it. So if you give an overview of what LogRec is and what it accomplishes. Also, you discussed, I believe, the difference between 5Charlie6 and 6Charlie6 just as I was joining. So if you don't mind reviewing that. So a question about LogRec and about 5Charlie6, 6Charlie6. Thank you.
Want me to go, Rick, or?
Sure, go ahead. Yes, sure, go ahead, Blanche.
Well, let's go ahead with the 5Charlie6 and 6Charlie6. Those are the two WebSphere MQ system admin codes. And basically, the 5Charlie6 is more at a task level, and the 6Charlie6 is at a queue manager level. And so, there's like data integrity is involved, and so we'll terminate the entire queue manager generally with a 6Charlie6 versus a 5Charlie6 might just be, at a TCB level. As far as LogRec, the two different things there, one was within the dump, it was just the log rec data that's captured within a dump, and so you'll see a few there. The one with the JCL for the log rec there, it's just you can run, it's against the error reporting history, I believe it's ERP, E-R-E-P, and you can run the sample JCL there to get the, in our case, we're generally interested in the software records for WebSphere MQ, and it's a history of errors, and that are logged there. You'll see in some messages, and if you go to the link with the 5Charlie6 or 6Charlie6 at the very beginning there, it'll say that this information is written to LogRec or it's written dumped like in an SVC dump. So LogRec is a like a history, and then, of course, the dump is a snapshot at that one point in time.
And I was going to also add that to see that snapshot in the dump, you would issue that verbex log data command from option 6 with inside of IPCS. And normally I just kind of do a find on admin codes like 5Charlie6s or do a find on admin to see all the different admins that are occurring during that snapshot in the dumps LogRec.
And one more thing, this is Rick. LogRec data is system-wide. It's ZOL parse specific. It's not a component.
Yeah, that's true. So you need to run it on the, when you do run it, on the system that would be logging those software records.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with MQ log data sets, no relation to that.
Not with the active or archive logs, no. This is the LogRec has to do with it's a DOS system, error capturing. And, and you can see there, you know, there's not the entire dump. I mean, it does give you the registers, PSW, it gives you the module CSEC names and that type of thing. But correct, it has nothing to do with the WebSphere MQ, you know, our active or archive logs where we would log messages and that type of thing for, like, persistent messaging and that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'm showing no additional questions.
Thank you, Dory. I do see a question in the group chat. The question is, does Fault Analyzer format navigate through WMQ dumps as it does for KIX? Hello?
I guess the silence gives you a pretty good indication of the answer.
Right, to determine what that fault analyzer...
yeah, KIX uses it.
Okay, all right.
But does MQ use it?
I think we'll have to investigate that information to that question regarding the fault analyzer interfacing with our dumps. We... Normally, during our diagnostic efforts, we don't use that, but we would have to investigate that further.
Who needs the answer to that? See, we see it's Joe, but who is?
We don't know his email address, but I've put slide one back up, and that has all your email addresses.
Yeah, just email one of us, Joe, and we'll get back with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, assuming there are no more questions on the phone, at this time we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Rick, Doug, Blanche, and Greg, for presenting today.